Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here we hear a portion of our Ten Commandments. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia and verse.
Whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the second and third chapter.
To you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, what they are doing is not lawful on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent, and he looked around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the sermon hymn. Again, that is in the insert inside your bulletin.
We humans love our laws. In fact, we love them so much we continue writing them. We like to get more and more and more detailed. So, for example, simple illustration. When I was in school, we had to turn in a paper, and it was usually double-spaced, typewriter, 3 pages, 4 pages, whatever. Now when the kids get an assignment for writing a paper, it's 8.5 by 11, 0.5 margins. You have to have a font size of 12, and it must be Times New Roman. Why? Because if you give a kid an assignment of 4 pages, they'll make it a half sheet with 55-point text. We're not the only ones, though. It's not like this is new to our day and our age. God said, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." We call it the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And God talks about work, and he'll go on elsewhere through Moses to define work on the Sabbath day. For example, the cooking was supposed to be done on the sixth day so that on the seventh day you didn't have to start a fire and you didn't have to do the work of cooking. But you see, it's just not quite good enough, God. I mean, we're really concerned about this commandment because we don't want to break it, God. And this definition of work, why, it's a little too vague. That's basically what happened over time with the people of Israel. You know, your average Joe just couldn't handle what was to work and what was to not work. They needed more detailed information. And as often happens, there are experts who are happy to step in and give in that detailed explanation. By the time of Jesus, the expert advice of the Pharisees had codified the whole business. There were 614 rules pertaining to the Sabbath day. Many of those were explanations exactly what one must do in order to not be working on the Sabbath. It was hard work to make sure that no work was done on the Sabbath. But, you know, somebody had to do it. And the Pharisees, well, they were happy to take charge. You know, it's sort of too bad that they didn't have social media in their day. I mean, great tools to shame people who might be doing something, violate one of those Sabbath rules. Except here's the problem. I'm willing to guess that you wouldn't have been able to use your social media with all that swiping probably being defined as work. And in our gospel reading today, the Pharisees publicly complain to Jesus about his disciples. "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees had turned the Sabbath day into its own type of work day. Not regular work, of course, but a no-work work day. It was a burden, a lot of hard work to make sure you were keeping that commandment. And again, this is just the way it is for us as human beings. And many of you probably remember, and if you don't, younger kids, you know, in America, we had our blue laws. Blue laws came out of religious fervor. We were going to make sure people went to church on Sunday no matter what. How'd you do it? Cut off everything else that they could possibly do so that if they want to have any interaction with people, they would do it at church. Now, that might be a little bit extreme, but there was no shopping, and there certainly was no drinking. There were no entertainment activities in the strictest of the blue law states. In my hometown, I remember having blue laws. I remember the fact that most all of our stores were shut down on Sundays. Fortunately, the grocery store was open and there were fresh cooked donuts that you could have after church, you know. Most of those laws are gone. And I really don't know how many people would take to Twitter or to Facebook to shame you for doing work on Sunday anymore. But what about Sabbath rules? I mean, I know we worship on Sundays rather than Saturdays, but don't we also have our own kind of Sabbath rules? Church has become a chore for many. You got some boring guys standing up front, yattering on about this or that or the other thing. Oh yeah, we get to have some Bible passages read. We get to sing some songs. We get to have some prayers. Well, that's the rule, right? Whether you find it interesting or not, I mean, just going and parking your behind in a pew, well, that gives you some points with God, right? I mean, you've done your work by being in church. Oh, let's not forget the offering. That's the other part of the rules, right? Your prayers, whether on Sunday or other days, is part of the church rules. Whether you might volunteer and come and help out around the church, well, you know, you might get some points for that also, right? I hope that sounds just a hair overstated for many of you. But it's easy for us to also slip into the way of thinking of the Pharisees. And these types of thoughts, they actually can poison our relationship with God. When we turn church and Sunday into work, when we think that in that way, well, then God sort of becomes our boss, doesn't he? And we're sort of somewhat just his employees. What's the paycheck you might be seeking from your boss? Salvation? Can you get just enough points by following just enough rules to get that paycheck? In today's gospel, Jesus replied to the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You know, and it sort of makes sense even in Jesus' day. Because, you know, all those Sabbath rules, they didn't apply to the priests. The priests didn't get to rest on the Sabbath. They worked. They worked hard. They had to perform the rites of purification. They had to slaughter the animals for the sacrifices. They had to cut and lift and burn those sacrifices. It was work. And since they were priests, it was even what you would call your regular work. Yet it didn't violate the Sabbath rules. Why not? Because the point of the Sabbath is worship. Moses says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Remember. Remember. That was a very crucial part of a restful Sabbath worship. Moses wanted the people of Israel to take some time to look back on their time of slavery in Egypt, to remember life there was hard. There was no rest. And in remembering, they were to rest. And they were to remember that God had delivered them out of slavery. They had done nothing to help God with this. He took care of every detail. So remember. In the Bible, when we hear the word remember, it's so much more than just call the facts to mind. When remembering takes place in the Bible, when remembering takes place among us, it also involves doing something.
So for example, leading up to the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 2, we hear this. Their cry, Israel's cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. I'm so happy ESV just leaves it like that. Knew. God had this deep, intimate care for his people who are suffering and their cries for mercy. And remembering the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God took action. What's the very next thing God does when he remembers and knows? He calls Moses. Go and set my people free. He used Moses as his servant to exercise his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. To remember was to listen to the great things that God had done, to think about them, to reflect on them, and then to rest in his wonderful work. For us, to remember is not just to remember you were slaves in Egypt. Well, we weren't. But to remember we were slaves to sin. That we were as helpless as the people of Israel in Egypt against sin. We had no ability to deliver ourselves from our sin, and all we could look forward to is the eternal consequence of it. But God remembered us. God took action. God sent his Son into our very flesh to keep the laws and commands that God had given to perfection. And to offer his perfect life in our stead. To stretch out his arm, not in mighty signs, but on the best sign of all. To stretch out his arms on the cross and to die for us. For us to remember means not just thinking about Jesus, but gathering together to hear the story again and again of Christ our Savior. To remember that Jesus is the one who fulfilled all of the rules, especially the Sabbath rules. Jesus was the sacrifice that everything in the Old Testament was pointing to. And all of the rules that God gave his people Israel, yes, they were meant for guidance in life, but ultimately what they showed is the sin that had them captured as well as us. And as we gather and we remember our deliverance from those sins and from our slavery. And when we participate in worship, when we gather to praise God for all that he has done, when we give our offerings, when we offer our time, it's not to earn brownie points from God, it's all a part of the remembering that God has delivered us eternally. And the other thing that we always want to do as we gather is we want to follow what Jesus said. We want to actually receive him, especially in Holy Communion, when he says, do this in remembrance of me, where we receive his sacrifice into us. Moses said to the people, remember you were slaves in Egypt. God continues to call us together and say, remember, you were slaves to sin, but in Christ you have been set free. So rather than it being about some boring pastor with some boring readings and some boring psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're happy to worship. We're happy to worship because we get to remember. Remember that although we were once slaves to sin, we are now freed by the blood of Jesus. To remember that though death was our destiny, in Christ, God has given us life now and life eternally. And so we remember these things on happy days like this. Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who has rescued you out of your slavery to sin and given you life. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.